You are essentially the top champagne glass on a champagne glass tower. And in order for all the champagne glasses beneath you to be filled, it's important for your cup to be filled. So from your fullness, it rolls over into all the other glasses. So you cannot be of service from a full place if you are not taking care of yourself first and foremost.
You're listening to the Remote Explorers Podcast, a show that allows you to connect, learn, and be inspired by the stories of people who have used the power of remote work to have unconventional experiences in their lives. The podcast is hosted by Mayur and Shahzada, who are experienced and equally curious remote workers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Remote Explorers Podcast. This is your host, Shahzada. So on the 13th episode of the Remote Explorers Podcast, we have Shalini Sarina with us. Shalini is an international mindset coach, yoga teacher, holistic healer, and an entrepreneur. She believes deeply in the importance of taking care of yourself and keeping healthy along your growth and journey. Shalini Sarina is also the founder of Women in Tech channel, which won the award for Best Account of the Year at the 9th Annual Shorty Awards. She has over a decade of experience in strategic partnerships and community development with startups around the globe. Shalini is a citizen of the world. She was born in London, though she has lived most of her life in the US. Shalini speaks 5 languages and she has lived a location-independent lifestyle for the past 5 years. She lived most of her last year in Bali, Indonesia, and now she's currently based in Goa. Shalini is on a mission to help close the diversity gap in tech and wellness, using media and storytelling as the main tool to achieve this goal. So this episode with Shalini is going to be in 2 parts. In the first part, Shalini narrates her entire journey from her childhood to where she is now. She describes her school life, her emotional and physical pains that she experienced in her life, and all the serendipity that led to her becoming a mindset coach, and how she is now helping so many people to grow. This is Shalini Sarina on the Remote Explorers Podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Of course, such a pleasure. Looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah. Give me a little background about how was your childhood? Where were you raised? What were the experiences you've had that build up to the position that you are in right now?
So I was born in England. My parents had an arranged marriage. My mother was born in Singapore. There's quite a big Indian community there. And my dad was actually born in Delhi, but moved to England when he was 6 months, 7 months old. So I was born and raised in England, and I lived there up until age 11. And at that point is when my brother and I, we moved to America. And my parents had divorced at that point. And my father had remarried in America with my former stepmother, who was 23 at the time when they got married. And I was 11 when I moved over. So we moved over to Miami, Florida, which Miami is in America. However, it may as well be a part of Latin America because you have to know Spanish if you live in Miami. And I'm grateful I moved there because I learned Spanish living there. And the Latin people are just so warm and so loving. And, you know, when you meet someone, there's an embrace, there's a kiss on the cheek, and there's just that kind of energy, which I'm so grateful for. So when I moved from England to America, my former stepmother was bipolar. So living in her energy space and under that roof was not the easiest growing up. So I'm really grateful that while I was in high school, I went to a Catholic high school. I'm not baptized, and you know, I respect all paths. There's many paths that we can connect with spirit, that we can connect with the divine, the universe, whatever languaging resonates with you. However, I am grateful that when I did go to this Catholic high school, I sang in the church choir all 4 years. So I was in this energy of devotion, this energy of prayer. And I feel being around people who were in this energy of connecting with spirit and connecting with the universe in this way. And also I was seeing a lot of healthy relationships with my friends and their families. Like one of my best friends, her parents were just so loving. They had such a beautiful family dynamic that from a young age, I was like, okay, I may be this experiencing this at home. However, I'm also seeing this in my field. So I choose this to be my truth. Yeah. I choose this to be my frame of reference. So I was like mindset coaching myself to some degree when I was 12, 13 years old.
And oh, you were 12, 13 at that time. But you were conscious that this is something that I wish rather than what's happening right now.
Right, right. Just making a decision of, on like, where am I placing my thoughts? And this may be the case. However, and that's why I focus so much on education. So in high school, I was always grounded. I was always like, you know, I also moved from England to America. So I was a few years younger than my peers because you start school early in England. And I've always been quite nerdy. So I got bumped up a few grades. Yeah. So I was 12 and my peers were 15, 16. And in a city like Miami, which is a very sexy city, like 15, 16 year olds in Miami, they're driving cars. This is a city that's also built on drug money. There's a lot of luxury and clubs and all of this. And so for me, I leaned back and I, you know, again, I was in the choir. I was in every honor society. I've always been nerdy and I love that. And I just observed a lot. And I focused on schooling because I also knew education would be a massive ticket out for freedom for me. Mm. So I was 16 when I graduated high school. And so I was 16 when I started university and I got 5 scholarships entering university. And so at the time, my father got a job opportunity in Seattle and they were going to take me with them. However, I had enough scholarship to cover my housing on campus, to cover my books, to cover my car insurance even. So I said to my parents, hey, I'm actually going to stay here in Miami. I'm not going to go over there because essentially I just didn't want to live under that roof anymore. My father was traveling a lot for work and with my former stepmother, she was saying things and doing things to me, which were not healthy. And when I would share that with my father, it just, it would land on deaf ears. So I just felt like it's important for me to have my own like walls that I live in where I feel safe. Right. Yeah. And I feel like I can really, really expand and grow. And so that's also where my connection with the universe came through, where it's like, okay, all of a sudden my family is now living clear cut across the country in Seattle, Washington. And I'm in Miami with no family around. And so I created the energy of family in the friendships that I was opening up.
Yeah.
So the deans of my university, my professors, I was in a sorority. I was, again, in many different honor societies and such. And I was plugging myself into communities and entering these relationships and friendships with the energy of, hey, we're soul fam. We're one and the same. We are mirrors for one another. And so entering these relationships with the energy of unconditional love, unconditional non-judgment. And because I vibrated that out, that is also what I received back. And I'm super grateful for that.
Yeah. Were you well-read or did you have the understanding of the theory of you give first and then you get, or was it just naturally coming out of you?
It was an intuitive flow. Yeah, I'm so grateful. Okay. I think it's also from a witnessing. Of when I looked at people, and we're all, at the end of the day, we're more than these flesh and bones, we're energy, right? We're frequency.
Yeah.
And so when I would feel the frequency of like, wow, this person has a very pure light to them, or there's pure unconditional love in this family, like friends of mine's in their family dynamics. I was like, okay, this is possible. So I'm going to absorb the energy of this frame and, you know, like energy attracts like energy. So I'm going to emit the energy of that which I wish to receive. And that's how it works. And so after university, I got my first, and I was 20 when I graduated university. And I got my first job at a big advertising agency, Crispin Porter and Bogusky. And while I was working there, I learned so much. I'm glad that I have this background of marketing and advertising, so I understand that world. However, it is not work that inspires me, especially on the side of things where it's just clicks and impressions and pushing consumerism, you know?
Yeah.
So I did a program called Semester at Sea, which is like a floating university. It's like a university on a cruise ship and it circumnavigates the globe. I'd wanted to do it while I was a student. However, it's quite an expensive program. And even though I had scholarship and work study, it wasn't enough to cover it. So it was kind of just delayed. And so when you get accepted to this program, you get connected with an admissions counselor. So my admissions counselor and I, we had emailed because I had applied to every scholarship I could, and I really poured my soul into these essays, which essentially were asking, why is global travel important to you? Why is connecting with different cultures important to you? And for me, a lot of the way that I live is sharing the message that we're all one. It doesn't matter what our skin color is, what languages we're speaking, what haircuts we've got. We're all one. We're reflections of one another. And I know that a big part of my work, whatever it is, and I wear many hats these days, there is always a global lens on that which I'm doing. So while I was on semester at sea, I was unfortunately raped on the ship and went through a whole process of that. Like, the case took like a month and a half, and the person who raped me got kicked off the ship. But it was a very, intense experience on the ship, because there were also people who were saying, oh, so Serena's my middle name, Shalini is my first name. So there were some people who were like, Serena's lying, she's an attention seeker, so-and-so would never do that, la, 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 la. So not only going through something traumatic like that, but also your truth not being heard, or, starting to doubt, like, did I do something to attract this? What was I wearing? Maybe I shouldn't have gone out. That, like, all this kind of stuff, right? So imagine, during this time, I wasn't close with my family. So it's not like I called my father or my former stepmother or my, to let them know that I was going through this. So I navigated this not on my own, but like much of it held in my own capacity. And I had a therapist that I was seeing on the ship, and all the teachers had an eye out, but that was a really intense experience. And when I came back from that, my former stepmom and my dad were going through a divorce, and it was quite a messy divorce. They were both cheating on one another. It just wasn't a healthy dynamic. And essentially, my father was living in Abu Dhabi at the time, and I had opened up to my former stepmother when they were going through their divorce. She had found out that he was cheating on her, but she was also cheating on him. And there was an element where she said, hey, I cannot believe your father would do this to me, to us. And the thing is, at the time, I was not a US citizen. Mm-hmm. I was a English citizen. I had my green card. And the thing is, this happened, the rape happened in Ghana, in Africa. He didn't get kicked off the ship until Shanghai, and I reported it when I was in India. So actually, the first time I ever came to India, it was 2 days after I had reported the rape and gotten the case going. So literally, when my feet touched the ground on Indian soil, I energetically felt roots growing from the soles of my feet into the earth. And just such protection from this land. Like, I knew that once that case started, like, a lot was going to shift. It was going to be heavy energy, but important for me to move through this for justice for my own experience, but also just safety of others on the ship as well. And just, it's important to clear that. And so when I shared that with my former stepmother, and we went to go see an attorney, the attorney was like, yes, absolutely, you have a case here. Just know that because this guy is an American citizen, you are English, and it happened in Africa, you didn't report it till India, you didn't get kicked off till Shanghai. This is a lot of jurisdiction. Yeah. And so know that this would easily be a case that is like 2 or 3 years of your life. Mm. And when they said that, I just didn't want to be in that story and narrative for all those years. Like, I'd just come back from semester at sea. I was stepping deeper into my journey in my tech, in my role in the tech space. And so we just left it. And so as divorce stuff was going down, my father wasn't living in America at the time. He was in Abu Dhabi with his new partner in life. And when court stuff was going down, I was on the stand and I was being asked by my father's attorney, like, what my former stepmother was like. And I was like, she was there. However, there wasn't like the warm, nourishing elements of a mother energy there. Yeah. And then her attorney in a court where my brother is there, my father is there, and I hadn't shared with them what had happened. The attorney looked at me and was like, yes, but Miss Barhard, can we not say what you say to be true? Because didn't you lie about being raped on semester at sea? And I looked at my former stepmom, and she had this face, like this smirk of like, and my brother's eyes are tearing up. My father's has this face of shock and confusion. And I was just like, I responded literally, it felt like a movie. I was like, are you, I cursed. I was like, are you kidding me? And, the judge is like tapping the gavel. And I felt the reason to, with looking at my father's face, to like explain what happened right then and there. Then we left the courtroom. I was in tears. Then, you know, I was in a space with myself, my father, his attorney, and that brought up a whole dialogue around, why didn't you tell me? And then that brought up stuff of, well, when I have shared with you stuff I've navigated in the past, you haven't been there. So I just navigated this alone. And so energetically, this is not something I would typically share. However, it is a big part of my journey. It's an and it's important for us to speak about, things that are just true.
100%, and so
a lot of times on podcasts I've done previously, when I speak about, okay, then I was in Miami and then I moved to San Francisco, I moved to go deeper into the tech space. Absolutely. Like, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Uber, all of these companies are HQ'd in Silicon Valley for a reason. There's a very special energy there of innovators and creators and collaborators and dreamers, really, like big idea thinkers. So a lot of times I would skip over this big part of my life and just say, yeah, I lived in Miami, I worked in advertising, and then I went to San Francisco to go deeper in the tech space. However, that is a reason why I went there. However, a bigger reason is also energetically, I didn't want to be around my former stepmother, who for so many years enjoyed harming me. And so energetically, I just wanted to be free of that space. And so I moved to San Francisco, and imagine this is my first time as an adult, as a young adult, I was 20, 21. However, moving to a new city, I'd never been to San Francisco before. And on the first time I went, I had lined up a few interviews. So given my advertising background, I started interviewing and got roles at some ad tech companies. So being on the publisher side of things. And I was at one of the top ad agencies in the world. I was working on the Burger King account. We had a lot of fun. You know, Burger King is right up against McDonald's, which has huge global budget. So Burger King, we got to have a lot of fun and creativity, and I was the youngest on the team, and you know, social media was just starting up. And
this is back in 2000?
This was back in 2011. I was 20, 21. And then I moved to San Francisco, got deeper into the tech space. And when I was at the ad agencies, because social media was just picking up at the time, and you have the King character with Burger King, which is no longer the case because they've switched agencies. However, the King was very much like a mascot for Burger King for many, many years. Yeah. And during the time I was at that ad agency, it was the first time that we had given the King a voice, and he was now on. So I was given a lot of space during my advertising days to step into my role as leadership. I know my British accent also served me. I feel like in America, it's just like, Shalini, why don't you lead this pool, you know? And again, at the time, I was actually going by my middle name, Serena. So about that, when my brother and I moved to America, we moved 2 months after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And my brother's a little darker than me, so he would get a lot of comments of like, you terrorist, go back to your country and things like that. So anything that connected us to our heritage and culture, we kind of didn't want to be associated with out of fear of association, you know? So Serena, and also being in Miami with the Hispanic, Serena can easily be Serena. It's just more universal. And I love my name, you know, both Shalini and Serena. Yeah. However, for most of my adult life, I've been going by Serena. So it feels really good for the past 2 years where I've been leaning more into, my fullness of who I be. Yeah. So in San Francisco, worked in tech, worked at a few ad tech publishers. And then again, I wasn't inspired by consumerism, clicks, impressions. Yeah. I'm passionate about humans and people and growth and all these elements of creating magic, of innovating, of you know, just bettering our society, bettering our planet, all of these things. So I worked at a company called Angel Hack, where we were producing hackathons, coding competitions. And I was locking in our global sponsors for these events. I was emceeing many of these events and getting the judges and the local community excited about these upcoming events. And then I moved to New York because I was craving diversity. When I was living in San Francisco, I was working 24/7, like, you know, throughout the week, getting our sponsors, doing all of that. And then on the weekends itself, going to conferences, producing our hackathons, etc. I was in my early 20s just running on pure adrenaline, though. And I regret nothing. I learned so much, met so many incredible people. However, that's also where the seed was planted in me of, oh, of course I'm an entrepreneur. I have so many entrepreneurs in my sphere that is a reflection of me as well. So that's where the seed was planted of, okay, I am here to create. not just one thing, but many things. And what was also planted is when I was going to these big tech conferences and hackathons, I was very rarely seeing faces like mine. So very few women.
What do you mean by faces like you, like brown?
Women of color. Okay. Both. So I was seeing very few women and even a smaller percentage of women of color. Okay. So that's also where the seed was planted of, okay, I'm here to be a channel and be a bridge so that there can be more diversity and energies of oneness in these spaces of abundance. Yeah. And so when I moved to New York, I worked at the world's first coding school, so which is called Dev Bootcamp, short for Developer Bootcamp. Mm-hmm. And Dev Bootcamp got bought out by Kaplan, the test prep school. So Kaplan does test prep exams for LSAT, MCAT, SAT, ACT, these kinds of things. And they were seeing that we live in a generation now where you don't need to go these traditional, I mean, obviously for law school and medical school. However, as an entrepreneur, the world is your schooling. And, you know, for many people, you learn by doing and creating. And there's so many online courses you can take and you can work with coaches and you can find a mentor, or you can literally just Google how to code, right?
Of course,
So we were the world's first coding school. So they bought us out to understand this space. So the nice thing that came through that acquisition is we were under a startup environment. However, we had this big name company the security of a big name company. Yeah. I had really great health insurance all of a sudden. They covered my gym membership 100%. They cared about our mental health. And so actually in New York is where meditation and mindfulness practices came into my life more. So imagine in a hectic city like New York is where I connected with that. I was also being paid very well in New York. It's an expensive city, but also given the background that I had, that I was producing these global events and the network that I had, I was able to, you know, command a certain level of value of that which I bring. So I was making six figures. I was 25 years old. It was my first time living alone. And, you know, imagine me when I was 16 and I had five scholarships, working three jobs, maintaining this scholarship. And this energy of that 16-year-old girl being like, okay, I have made it when I have my own place, when I'm making this much. Da, da, da. And so that happened when I was 25 and living in New York. And once I had reached that little checklist and I bought myself my first Chanel bag and like all these external metric things that I thought meant success. That's when I got to ask myself these bigger questions of, no, why am I actually here? And how can I more deeply be of service? Then that is great. However, it's not giving me the space to actually move that through. And we know that through yoga, like your body will keep, you know, will show you exactly where you're keeping things trapped. Yeah. So that was really important in my journey. Meditation came into my life. I got the right coaching and therapy container to really process a lot of old traumas. And also mindfulness became a big part of my life. And I launched Women in Tech. So again, because of my background in advertising and media, I was seeing that a lot of the ads that young girls are served on Instagram and Snapchat, most of the sponsored content that they are seeing is makeup and fashion. And that's fine. Like makeup and fashion, you know, this is an industry for a reason. It's an expression of art. Yeah. However, if that is 90% of the content that we're showing our young girls, the messaging that we're telling our girls is, hey, don't forget to be pretty.
Yeah.
Don't forget you're just an object. We're not showing our young makers that they can create whatever they want. They can learn whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So I saw that Women in Tech was available on Instagram and Snapchat. So I locked that in. I created a Medium post of why this needs to exist. Because I was seeing a lot at the time, there were a lot of articles of like top investors and entrepreneurs to follow on social. And the entire list was all men.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is ridiculous. I know so many incredible women that are doing incredible things around the world. So I started that channel and I shared that Medium post and it went viral. We had thousands of people following the accounts within a week. Yeah. And so with that, fast forward, we won the award for best Snapchat account of the year, the Shorty Awards.
Yeah.
And that was really big because the winner the year before was DJ Khaled. And so we were on Snapchat at the time because, again, this was 2017. So you know how we have stories on Instagram? That was not a thing, let alone videos even in your feed. This was when Instagram was just photos, right? The highlight reel. And so with Snapchat and, we're experiencing this now with video. We're in different parts of the country, and we could be in different parts of the world and different time zones. And thanks to video, we feel like we're in the same room.
Yeah.
When you watch video, it's like you can see the expression on someone's face. You can hear the tone of their voice, and you're really teleported into that space. So with Women in Tech, the intention was to show young girls role models and show them women that they can see a part of themselves within and be like, oh, I didn't even know that a UX designer was a job. Oh, I didn't even know that all these ways that I can easily learn how to code for free are readily available to me. Yeah. So that was the journey with Women in Tech. So I quit my job at Dev Bootcamp. Imagine, I'm making six figures. I'm living on my own. I'm on this great journey. And then I was like, no, I'm here for something bigger. So I left New York, went to Bali in 2016. And that is where I did my yoga teacher training. And so I deepened my understanding of yoga and also holding that space. Yeah. And since then, since I moved to Bali, is when I started my journey as a location independent entrepreneur, because I realized, wow, I'm English, I'm American, I'm Indian. There's a part of me that there's a Latina imprint as well. I love speaking Spanish, and I really resonate with that culture as well. And you know, it doesn't matter. Like we're all one. And I see that time and time again when I meet people from different cultures. And because there wasn't like a physical home space of mine, like for the holidays, when I was living in Miami, I would spend Thanksgivings with sorority sisters of mine, because I wasn't welcome in the home in Seattle with my former stepmother and my dad at the time. And so, you know, I would just create that energy of family wherever I be. And it doesn't matter what our backgrounds be. And so fast forward in that location independent journey, I've lived all over. I've spent a few, like a month in Thailand or a month in Berlin. And my brother lives in Prague. And most of my family lives in Europe. However, I've lived most of my life in America. And the past few years I've been living here in Asia, because this is where my ancestry is from. My mother's side of the family is in Singapore. My lineage is in India. I speak two Indian languages. Yoga has so much of its roots here. So it's been important for me to spend time here. And so now I do many things. I was in my first feature film just 2 weeks ago, and my scene was alongside Deepika Padukone. Yeah. I'm doing my third ever ad film later on this week. And I've been modeling, and I was in Vogue India of this year's April edition. And yeah. I also sing, and I'm writing a book, and Women in Tech is still a big part of my life. And I guide meditations. I guide free full moon and new moon meditations every month. The last time I was doing this in person, I was doing workshops all over the world. The last one I did in person was in Bombay at Soho House. But now I guide these online, and it's been really beautiful to see a global family join in. Yeah. And the seat that I hold most dominantly is as a mindset coach.
Yeah.
Because I've gone through a lot in my own journey. And when everybody goes through suffering, everybody goes through their own trauma, and we don't have to be a victim to that story.
Yeah.
It's a matter of giving yourself that space to really move through that, acknowledge what has happened, and then choose to release it, choose to forgive, choose to come back to your center of love and light and peace. And so I've done a lot of that in my own journey. And then when I was at Dev Bootcamp, my role there was getting our graduates jobs. So that's where coaching first came into my field, but it was more career coaching. And also mindset coaching, because these were graduates who had never said before, oh, I'm a software developer. We are radiant expressions of the universe, and we get to own that multifacetedness.
Yeah.
Not from a place of ego. I don't say this of like, oh, I'm so fabulous and I'm doing all these things. I am saying I am a ray of light. I am one with nature, and nature is radiant. And so who am I not to be radiant? Right. And in this time where we are shifting from an old paradigm that is melting, and we are really honoring the feminine, we are honoring nature, we are taking care of one another, we are tapping into our intuition. It's important to see empowered women.
100%.
And just empowered individuals who are moving from a place of real love and peace and respect to one another and our planet.
Yeah, that's why I call you a pro abundance manifester. Your story is so inspiring, and also the way you've told your story, it's very realistic. It resonated with me as well. There are a few things that I want to share with you.
Yeah.
You had a certain dynamics with your parents when you were young. I lost my dad when I was 15 and I lost my mom when I was 21. The relationship that I had with my parents was very beautiful. Aww. The times that I've had with them, I cherish them. I'm going to cherish them for all my life.
Yes.
But of course, there was this void once both my parents left away. I figured out that this love so much there in the universe around me that I can just point my finger out to the world and nature and people around the animals, and I can just take it all in. Like, there is no need to feel that there's a lack in my life. Everything is right there. So with that, a question comes to my mind for you is, when we talk about the Indian society specifically, the dynamics work in a certain way that a kid is till a certain age dependent on their parent financially, because parents pay for their education. And then you would see that there's a cultural thing that people are a lot of times dependent on their decisions of the rights and wrongs of their parents. As you've had this life, you've had a roller coaster life. Don't mind me saying that, because seen it all. You've seen it all. What recommendation would you give to people who hold themselves because mere dad ko kya lagega if I do that? What would my mom think about it?
Right.
And with that, I want to add on, because I have experiences from my life that kids or any individual is like a plant. You know, you can just give them water and you can give them the right manure and just let them grow the way they want. But unless the plant realizes that he's a plant, the plant won't be able to grow into a big tree. So what do you have to say about that?
So I completely understand that in Indian culture, there's a lot. I mean, family dynamics are really beautiful, right? It's a very close-knit family culture. However, I have noticed that there is an energy of attachment around this. My role is this as a son, so I need to do this. I am the daughter-in-law, so I need to... Where it's actually... One thing that's been really powerful on my journey is to detach, actively practice detachment. That doesn't mean I'm not of this world. That doesn't mean I don't, you know, care about things around me. It just means I don't put so much weight on these things. Hmm. And the way that we treat our experience is, you are essentially the top champagne glass on a champagne glass tower. And in order for all the champagne glasses beneath you to be filled, it's important for your cup to be filled. So from your fullness, it rolls over into all the other glasses. So you cannot be of service from a full place if you are not taking care of yourself first and foremost. Yeah. And so if there's this energy of like, oh, I need to do this because what will my grandmother think, or what will you're not really moving from your inner radiance and from your inner truth. You're moving from a place of obligation, shame, tightness. And even as I say this sentence, like, my body like contracts in, and when you look at a beautiful garden, you see these roses and these tulips and these sunflowers, they're in their radiance, their heart chakra is open.
Yes.
And you notice that when you see people in general who walk into a space and you can see their aura is really bright and they're open, it's because they're moving from a place of internal expansiveness. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of conditioned elements in Indian society of like, oh, I could never say that to my father, or I can never bring that up. And the thing is, we are in 2020 now, my loves. 2020 numerology, this is the energy of clear vision. This is a shakeup of a year. This has not been an easy year for any of us. However, this is an important year, and this clearing is happening for a reason. So maybe older generations may have not had these dialogues. However, we're in a year of clearing. We're releasing old paradigms that don't work. Yeah. Racism doesn't work. Sexism doesn't work. So we are the generation that we're waking up and we're saying, hey, this is not okay.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going through that clearing now. So there are ways to have that dialogue with your parents. Firstly, it's void of emotion. You don't need to blame them or get angry at them. It's just speaking to your parents as, even if you're a young adult, even if you're a teenager, it's speaking from a place of, and of course, like if we had more specific examples, feel free to reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help guide these kinds of dialogues. I've done a lot of that. But the key thing is to remember, it's important for you to show up for you and listen to your inner truth. You don't want to be living somebody else's life, because you won't feel the richness of this experience that is your birthright to feel.
So this was Shalini with her inspiring personal story.
In the next episode, she would be telling us about her perspective on using social media to help others and how can one start to attract the best life or live in the highest of one's frequency. Stay tuned for the part 2.